The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters, and once again, welcome back to our little rectory chapel with a little thought for you here for the day, something I hope you find helpful. You know, there's 40 days from Easter to the ascension of Jesus into heaven, 40 days. And those 40 days fit really neatly into two halves, and in the first half of Easter, we focus on the fact of Jesus risen from the dead, okay? But today we begin the second half where our focus is on the fact that Jesus is still with us. Now, this is really important to remember. He's not with us the way things were back in the day when he walked the earth and you could, you know, see him walking around in a physical body. No, I'm not saying he's like that, okay? But he said to his apostles, "I'm going to be with you until the end of the age," and he meant it. And we need to bolster our faith by remembering the ways in which he's present. And that's one of the things that we do today, okay? Because today is the fourth Sunday of Easter. And it's known colloquially, at least, as Good Shepherd Sunday. And that's because all the readings use this beloved image of the Good Shepherd. Heard it in the Gospel, you heard it in the Psalm response, heard it in the second reading. You didn't hear it in the first reading, but that's a long story and it's a subject of a whole other homily, okay? But the Good Shepherd shows up always on the fourth Sunday of Easter, this beloved image for the Lord. Did you know that the image of the Good Shepherd is older than the crucifix as far as being an image of the Christian faith? It's true. Look at the cover of our catechism, for example. Look at the cover of our catechism, and what do you see there but an ancient Christian artwork taken from the catacombs in Rome, a depiction of Christ the Good Shepherd. That's how old and how beloved this image is, right? Christ the Shepherd, and we are his people, the sheep of his flock. You see, the first thing we need to understand when we say that Jesus is the Good Shepherd is that he called us sheep. He never said, "You are my swift gazelles." He never said, "You are my radiant stallions." He never said, "You're my soaring eagles. You're my mighty lions." No, he said that we were sheep. So it wouldn't hurt to learn a few things about sheep. Okay, so here's three things to understand about sheep. First thing to understand, sheep are incredibly docile. You ever had the chance to pick up a little lamb? I hope you get the chance sometime. It's these tiny little spindly legs, and they feel like twigs from a tree branch, and they just fold up right underneath, and it's like you're caressing a little warm ball of fluff. And he lets out a plaintive little bleat, and it's just the most docile little creature the lamb is, or sheep is. Second thing to understand about sheep is that they really do know the voice of their shepherd. And this is amazing to see. I've gotten the chance to see this myself because once upon a time I was in the missions and it was in a real rural part of Mexico and I got to live in the proximity of shepherds and their sheep. And you can get all these sheep in a great big sheep pen and they can belong to two and three different shepherds. It's a great big, imagine this, all these sheep. And one shepherd will walk up to the pen, he'll call his sheep, and his sheep will listen to his voice. They really do know the voice of their shepherd. I remember once, this little lamb, he called the little sheep by name. And a little tiny thing, he made his way through all the fluffy sheep right up to his shepherd, just like Jesus says in the gospel, "My sheep hear my voice." Third thing to understand about sheep is that they are inexpressibly stupid. It's the dumbest animal in the entire world. You will never find a trained sheep. There's no such thing as a trained sheep show. The only thing sheep do is they just do whatever all the other sheep are doing. True story. The shepherd showed me once, at the end of the day, he was bringing all the sheep into the sheepfold for the night. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening. And he says, "Padre, padre, ven, ven, mira, mira." He says, "Father, father, come here, watch this, watch this." And the sheep are going into the sheepfold, right? And he takes his staff in his hand and he puts it in front of the gate so that when the sheep go into the fold, they have to leap over the shepherd's staff. And then he says, "Now, padre, watch this." And he pulls back the staff from in front of the door. And the sheep keep jumping where the staff used to be just because the sheep in front of them was doing that. Totally helpless. And you realize sheep have no natural defense? No natural defense. I mean, a wolf can bite and a squirrel can squirrel away and a bird can fly. But what can a sheep do? Nothing, and worse than nothing. Do you realize that if a wolf attacks the sheep, they don't even have the good sense to scatter. They all bunch up together in one great big juicy snack, right? Dumbest animals. And one of the things I think we have to remember on Good Shepherd Sunday is we have to humbly admit how much like sheep we are. I mean, isn't this the truth? First of all, we are incredibly vulnerable. Yes or yes? Yes. We don't even know what to do about a tiny little microscopic virus floating through the air. Totally vulnerable and quite helpless. Second thing, honestly, don't we just tend to do whatever everybody else is doing? You know what's really interesting? Watch this sometime. You know how you get people that they'll proudly proclaim how independent they are and how they don't go along with the rest of the crowd? You watch. You watch as they think, speak, act, and dress exactly like everybody else in their little group. We're all sheep. And nobody really knows what's going on. I remember a man once said to me, he says, you know, when I was a little boy, I thought the grown-ups knew what they were doing. And then I grew up, and I thought the government knew what they were doing. And now I work for the government, and I realize that nobody knows what they're doing. Sheep, and do we need a shepherd or what, right? So Good Shepherd Sunday, but here's the thing about this Good Shepherd Sunday, is that Jesus, he actually doesn't say that he's the good shepherd, not this year. This year he says something different. He says, "I'm the gate for the sheep." And what the heck does that mean? You know, it's a really important statement. There's only 7 times in the Gospel of John in which Jesus says, "I am anything. He's, I am the bread of life, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, I'm the resurrection and the life, I'm the good shepherd. I'm not going to go through them all, but one of them today, very important, is I am the gate for the sheep. And what the heck does that mean? Well, if you go out into the countryside in Israel, this is what you find among the shepherds. They stay there for months and months, and what they do is they actually build their own sheep enclosure, and they build it out of rocks. Basically, it's just a rough-hewn circle with stacked-up rocks with an opening in the center with no gate. That's because the shepherd himself lies down in front of the opening, and he himself becomes the gate. He himself defends and protects his sheep against anyone who would cause them harm. And Jesus says, that's who I am for you. So the question we have to ask is, if that's who he is for us, are we his sheep or not? I think you have to answer this question. Whose voice are you listening to out there? There's lots of voices out there, and they're trying to clamor for your mind and your heart's attention and affection, right? Political parties, ideologies, sports stars, movie stars, politicians, entertainers, they might want your money, they might want your vote, they might want your heart's allegiance, but they don't love you, they don't know you, and they sure as heck aren't going to die for you like Jesus Christ is. Question you got to ask yourself is, whose voice are you following? Whose voice are you following? I suppose that depends on what you think is going to be your protection and your salvation against all the world's dangers. Kind of gets down to your philosophy of living, I suppose. What do you dedicate your life to? What is it, money that you're seeking after? Is that what your heart lives for and yearns for? Because, you know, if it is, go follow the gurus who tell you how to make the fastest buck, because Jesus Christ is going to be no consolation to you. He says you want to be my disciple, you give away all your possessions, right? Would you want to find comfort in life? Do you want to just stay out of trouble? Do you want to find pleasures and thrills? Go listen to whatever shepherd it is who's leading people in that direction. Or maybe you want to be popular and you want to be influential and you want to be powerful. You're going to get no consolation from the Lord, not in that department. He says, you want to follow me, you got to put yourself last. Right? There's people out there, and they're following all these voices, and they're following just like sheep. But can I give you a tiny little word of old-fashioned advice? None of that stuff is worth so much as a rusty collar button at the hour of your death. Only the blood of Jesus Christ saves your soul. And if we want to be in his flock, we got to listen to his voice. And that means we listen to the teaching of the church that authentically tells us with the guarantee Christ gave to his apostles that we're not going to teach anything but the truth as far as faith and morality are concerned, right? We're going to teach that as exemplified by the lives of the saints. And strengthened by the grace of the sacraments. That's how we're going to stay listening to his voice. Jesus says, all those who came before me are thieves and marauders. What the heck does that mean? All those who came before me, he says, are thieves and marauders. Does that mean that Jesus says that the prophets of old and Moses and all those Old Testament characters who came before Jesus are all thieves and marauders? Nope, doesn't mean that. You want to know why? If you listen carefully, he says, those who come before me are thieves and marauders. He doesn't say they were. He says they are. And what that means is, whoever we put before the voice of the Lord steals the grace of Christ from your soul. Wolf in sheep's clothing, imperiling our eternal salvation. You got to ask yourself, who do you follow, right? Who are you going to follow? Can I give you three simple ways, simple things you can do to help you to stay listening to the voice of the shepherd, to stay in his good flock. The first is, take all your worries, all your concerns, right? They come across you in the course of the day. And give them what I like to call the deathbed test. I had a spiritual director once. He used to put it this way. Take all your worries, take all your concerns, and give it the deathbed test. And that means, imagine in your mind that you only had 6 months left to live. Now, how important are your concerns in light of that? That's a funny thing about the proximity of death. It has this uncanny way of separating that which matters from that which never did. It's not a bad way to continue to live our lives, to help us to be part of his flock. Second thing, to be part of the Lord's flock, to listen to his voice, practice the presence of God. Remember this, you are never alone. Never. You only think you're alone. But the grace of the Lord is with you more than you are with yourself when you're working, when you're resting, right? When you're doing chores, when you're sitting at the computer, when you're watching television, when you're staring at your phone, when you're with friends, always in the presence of the Lord. Practice that. You know what? You'll get good at it. You'll begin to do everything in God's presence, and you'll remember that we're responsible for what we do and what we say, and it's a wonderful habit, again, to get into. And the third thing to remember is persevere, persevere, persevere. Because it's so disheartening. You're going to fall, and you're going to fall again, and you're going to fall again. And it's so disheartening. Don't you quit. Don't you ever quit. I like the way Padre Pio, St. Pio of Pietrelcina, once put it. He said, hate your faults, but hate them calmly. Okay? Don't be surprised when you fall. Just persevere in prayer, persevere in repentance, get up and start again. You know what St. Peter said in the first reading to all the Jews who were gathered in Jerusalem on that first Pentecost Sunday from which our first reading takes place? He said to them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. What the heck does that mean? Well, this corrupt generation, quote, quote, That's Old Testament talk. That's Old Testament talk. The corrupt generation in the Old Testament was that generation that left Egypt with Moses and made their way across the desert. However, they did not have enough faith and enough trust in God to enter into the Promised Land. They died in the desert. That was the corrupt generation, right? So what St. Peter's saying in the first reading is all this people of this time who got to see Jesus in the flesh, who know the sound of his voice and the color of his eyes, if you guys don't follow him, you're just as bad off as the people who died in the desert because they wouldn't trust God and wouldn't listen to Moses. And you know what? There's a corrupt generation in our own time as well. And that's anyone who hears the voice of the shepherd speaking in their conscience, speaking through the example of the saints, in all the different ways, who hears the voice of the shepherd and just doesn't care. And just doesn't care. Don't let it happen to you. Don't be a dumb sheep, all right? Let's listen to his voice, and he will lead us safely home. Amen.